We're in a series of lessons called Devoted, and we just can't get away from it. And so one more time, I've said this for several weeks now. I've tried to unhook and just can't get unhooked. So we're going to stay hooked until Jesus says, get unhooked. I hope that's okay. I just believe that our life and our lifestyle will continue to grow spiritually if we'll get that one word working in us and just be more and more devoted. Here's a key scripture that we looked at weeks and weeks and weeks ago. It's from the book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 4. This is an ESV translation. It says this concerning the early church. Again, the church was booming. The church had all kind of pressure. Jesus had already been resurrected. The power of the Holy Spirit fell on the church there in Acts chapter 2. Thousands came. They got saved. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. There was pressure. There was persecution. The needs of the church were abounding. The widows needed food, all kinds of stuff. It'd be like today. Let's just make a thought like this, that in a room like this, this was the upper room. And there was 120 of us like us in the room. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit fell and we all got filled with the Spirit and began speaking in tongues. And the Bible says it was on the day of Pentecost, and there was thousands and thousands and thousands of people, the Jewish people, that came to Jerusalem to worship on the day of Pentecost. And all of a sudden they come out of this room speaking in tongues, and the Bible says they heard them speak in their own language the wonderful things of God. They actually heard that. And they got saved, and then the other people, they got filled with the Spirit. And so the church all of a sudden went from 3,000, and later 5,000 more were added. Can you imagine today, right now, if God poured out His Spirit in such a way that 3,000 people are on the lawn, they're coming down here, coming into Bonita, come on, trying to hear God, wanting to give their life to God, and all, what would we do? Come on, we would say glory, then we'd say, help me, Jesus. Because revival brings all kinds of pressure, brings all kinds of problems, brings all kinds of needs, and that's exactly what they're going through. And so the disciples came up with a plan, the apostles, the original ones there, right? Come on, Peter and James and John and those guys that were close and the others. Of course, Judas has already hung himself, but the scripture says here's what they did, chapter 6, verse 4. You guys help us out. You guys wait on the tables. You guys serve the people. You guys figure out what we got to do with the kids, and we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. He says, we got to take care of everybody. We know there's needs, and we know there's desires, and we know there's pressure, and we know there's stress, and let's bring it to California 2025. We know you got to get up early, and you're coming home late. You got to fight in traffic. We know you got a crazy boss, and you got some teenagers, and you got some stuff going on in your body, and there's some uncertainty with what's going on with the job market, but we will give ourselves, devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And so I know you might push back a little bit, and that's okay. I can handle the pushback. You might say, you know, Gary, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a full-time missionary right here, which you're not. You're not. But still, the thought is for us to understand that God wants more and more of us, and for us to be more and more devoted to Him, so we can see more and more of Him working in our life on a regular basis. I don't want you to get the thought that it's works motivated and I got to do this and it's like pulling a lever. I put in a couple of coins in the slot machine and I pull it down and I hit three lemons or whatever you do. I guess if you hit lemons, you don't get anything. I don't know. But whatever you do, and then ding, 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 and you win. It's not like that, but there is an effort. There is a thing I got to say no to that, and I say yes to God. And so I want to encourage all of us, we're saying in this series, I'm encouraging you, devote more and more of your time, more and more of your attention, more and more of your focus towards the things of God. Hang on to your seat, because these are challenging thoughts. I'm going to give you three. Leonard Ravenhill was a British evangelist who later moved to the United States. I'm reading a book by him right now, and it's one of those books you read like a half a page, and you put it down and go, I repent. You ever read those words? Ever read a book like that? You just put it down. So here's three questions I'm pondering. Here's the first one. Do you love the company of men more than the company of God? Second one. Do you love to play more than you love to pray? More alone time, more me time. The third one he asked in the book, Do you have an appetite more for the material than the spiritual? These are questions I think that we could ask on a continual basis, because God, again, is asking for more and more of us to be more and more devoted to Him and more devoted to the ministry of the Word, understanding the Word, and then being able to get to the place where Paul says and writes to the writer of Hebrews, actually says, we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but a lot of people think it's Paul. That's really irrelevant. The writer says this. He says, by now, you should be able to teach others, is what the writer says. How long do we get to the place and we dumb down or numb down our Christian walk that we say somebody else always has to teach me? There will always be someone teaching you, but to the point where I need it, I have to have it. No, the Bible says in Hebrews, you and I need to learn to eat and to drink ourselves. I got a 6-month-old grandson, Mac. We're going to go see him in Vegas after church today, go hang out with him and the other grandkids since they're on spring break. Looking forward to it. Madison's 10. Major's 8, almost, just turned 8. And then we got Mac, almost 6 months. I'm not feeding Major and Madison anymore. I'm not giving a sippy cup to them. But when I come to hang out with Mac, absolutely. Absolutely. Because his growth hasn't taken development like his brother or sister. There has to come a time in our life as we become more and more devoted to him by the word and in prayer that we've got a grasp on lots of basics. We've got a grasp on the foundation of faith, and we're growing spiritually. And we've been talking about specifically in this realm of prayer, because it seems like it's this mysterious, mystical, if you will. It's the overlooked, it's the forgotten area of our Christian life. And we talk about prayer and people shrink in their chairs because we realize many people more and more, I just don't do it. And we're encouraging you to get alone with God, wait in His presence daily, and learn more and more how to pray. Here's our scripture that we've looked at from Luke chapter 11, it's verse 1. I don't know if we got it on the screen. Maybe I forgot to give it to you. But it says this: while Jesus was praying, the disciples then asked him, Lord, teach us to pray, right? So Lord, while Jesus was praying, after that they said, teach us to pray. And so these disciples that were around Jesus heard how Jesus prayed, and they saw what Jesus got after he prayed, that his prayers move things from, we could say, in heaven and on earth. There were healings, there were miracles, there were storms that stopped when the disciples were on the boat. Jesus comes walking on the water, and we saw multiplied fish feeding 4,000 and feeding 5,000. And on the heels of all these things that are going on, the disciples say, we ain't never heard anybody pray like you prayed. Teach us how to pray, because we see, evidently, they're saying, we see when you pray, things happen, and we want things to change when we pray. Can anybody in the room say amen? Amen. Last week we said this, if you weren't with us, but I'll say it one more time, that when we pray, we need to have a better understanding of who we're praying to, which is the Father, and where the Father is, which He's in heaven. So when you're praying, you're not praying earthbound. You're not praying like across the chair from where you're at to somebody who's not above every situation in your life. Have the thought when you pray, when you're alone with God, that I'm praying to the Father who art in heaven. Hallowed, holy, set apart, revered, reverenced is your name. That's what Jesus said. Have an idea. We need to have that constant picture in our mind that He's above all. He's beyond all. He's in the past. He's in the present. He's in the future. He's now with us, and He'll always be with us. When we pray, our focus is on Him. It's not on my need. It's not on my feeling. It's not on my emotion. It's not my stomach doesn't feel good today. I get a little high temperature today. It's not anything earthy. When I pray, I'm praying based on the word to the Father, who says when I pray to Him in secret, He's going to be in the secret place. And He's going to reward you openly. Come on, everybody. openly. So we see this in Jesus' life, that Jesus was just constantly aware of the Father's presence, constantly aware. He was constantly, we would say, spiritually aware. He was listening. He was discerning. He was hearing. Now stop for a second and just kind of go back in your thinking to when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? He's alone with the Father for 40 days and for 40 nights. What is Jesus praying to the Father in these 40 days and 40 nights? We don't have a record of what he's praying. But we find out when the disciples ask Jesus, how do you pray? Teach us to pray. The first thing Jesus taught them to pray was what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will come on you. You know what I'm saying? But listen to me. That can't be the only thing Jesus prayed over and over and over and over and over and over and over for 40 days and 40 nights for 16 to 18 hours a day. He had to pray other things. He had to have times that he's just waiting in the Father's presence, discerning, hearing in his heart what God's will and assignment and purpose was for him to fulfill. This is where answers come, guys. This is where direction comes. Quit asking everybody what they think. Ask God what he wants to do. I hope this doesn't hurt you, but if it hurts you, forgive me. If you're still talking about your problem after you prayed, you're not praying in faith. If you ask me to pray, and then you're wanting me to pray about something, or you're alone and you're praying about it, and then you get up from the time of prayer and you begin complaining or talking about that thing that you've asked God to do, you're not praying in faith. The scripture says we need to find a promise from the Word of God. We believe the promise in the Word of God, and then we pray that promise from the Word of God. How do you get to this point? How do you get to this point? Glad you asked. John 15:7, listen to me. This is two main keys for a successful prayer life, a life of victory. Here it is right here. If you abide in me, come on, read it with me. Will you do it? Come on, 1, 2, 3, read. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Notice the two main ingredients. You see what those two main ingredients are? Number one, come on, say it with me, abide in him. It's number two, abide in the word. Come on, abide in him, abide in the word. This is your lifetime pursuit, guys. Be you young, be you aged, be you, come on, be you brown hair, be you gray hair. This is what we do. We abide in him. What does abide in him mean? We spend time alone daily with God. We abide in him. We abide in him. I'm a proponent of early morning prayer because early morning prayer sets my day. If you don't do early morning prayer and you're a night owl and you do nighttime prayer, you figure it out. You come on, whatever what you do, work it, baby. We're all wired differently. Come on, but the key is you have to get alone with him. This is the key. Abide. Amplified Bible says, vitally united. Vitally united. Abide in him. Come on, abide in him. Don't let anything shake you out of from abiding. I want to abide with Kimberly 40 years now in my marriage. I'm planning for another 30 good strong years. In Jesus' name. I got to still abide. I got to abide. I got to abide. Because I want the relationship. I need her. She needs me more, but I need her. No, that ain't a fact. I need her bad. Let me tell you, up in here, bad. Come on, say it one more time. Abide in me.
Abide in me.
Say abide in my word.
Abide in my
Are you reading the Bible? I wouldn't really didn't say anything. Come on, everybody. Yeah. Are you reading the Bible? Are you reading the Bible daily? Read the Bible every day. Come on, read the Bible every day. I haven't got time. Let's check your social media account. Let's check your, come on, YouTube history. Give me your phone and let me scroll to see how many hours you are on Netflix or Hulu or TikTok. We've seen your TikTok videos. Come on. We've seen your dance TikTok videos. Abide in him. Prayer. Alone. Waiting. Listening. Learning. Discerning. Abide in the word. Abide in the word. Get a reading plan. Read. Come on, read. Some days you read a lot. Some days you don't. Just read. Read. Come on, read. Read the Bible. It's God's word to you. Read the Bible. Growing up, two brothers, I've told you. My older brother is more like an engineer mind. He worked for the same job at Kodak for years in computer and IT stuff. He's just a brilliant dude. He'd like read something and then kind of know everything going on. I'm the dude where I read it and I go, what did I just read? Anybody like that? Anybody like me? Anybody like when you read a chapter and you go, what just happened? My dad, when he would go away on trips, he'd come back and he'd bring us all boys. This was back in the day. He'd bring us back cars, model cars, and you had to put them together. Remember that, guys? Model cars. And so they all had parts, and all the parts had, I don't think they even had numbers, but there was a diagram. And so you were supposed to take the diagram and then figure it out. My brother, he gets his little piece of paper out, his instruction manual, and he's got the glue stick, and he's putting it all together. And Gary over here has got everything going and say, this looks like it goes here, this looks like it goes here, this looks like it goes here. And at the end of the day, I had 15, 20, 30 pieces sometimes that they just weren't part of the thing. Come on, somebody. I could never be a mechanic. And so I had the shell. Come on, I had the car on the outside, but the engine was all, come on, wasn't even there, everybody. Listen to me. When you're with God, God's working not only on the outside. Come on, he's working on the inside. This is where we need change, on the inside, on the inside. So come on, one more time, abide in him. Abide in the word. Look on the screen. The goal of reading the Bible or abiding is to make you more relational with the God of the Bible. It's to make you more relational. Because if we're not careful when we're reading the Bible or we're talking about prayer, prayer is to be relational, not transactional. We're not coming for something. We're coming to someone. Make the shift. I'm not coming as the kid keeping saying, gimme, 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 gimme. I'm coming because I need to be with you. You're the giver of life. You're my savior. You're my deliverer. You have everything I need. So why wouldn't I want to be with you who have every single thing that I need? So we looked at the scripture from Luke chapter 11. And we've been camped here for the last 2 weeks. This will be our third week as we kind of just button up this part of this devoted series. Jesus says this to the disciples. He says, so I say to you, ask and it'll be given you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. So we've said for the last couple weeks concerning prayer, we ask. We seek, and then today we're going to talk about knocking. So here's the thought. How do we ask? How do we ask? We've said this a couple weeks ago, is that we ask with prayers, petitions, and desires to know God more and more. We want to know the real will of God. We want to know His plan. We're coming to Him with petitions based on what His Word said and saying, Lord, I need this to be revealed in my life. I need to have this in my life. And so we said this a couple weeks ago, praying is saying. It's not thinking, it's not wishing, it's not hoping. Say it, ask it, form, fashion a prayer coming from your heart based on what the Word of God says. You're asking because you have not received it yet. And it's not that God's not willing to give it, but we read that in the book of James. You have not because you ask not. So we got to be bold enough and confident enough and have faith enough that God is good, we know His character, and that He wants to give us exactly what we're asking Him based on the authority of the Word of God. So find out what God said He would do and ask Him. The second thing we said is that we seek with wholehearted, earnest desire to know God more and more. We want to know You. So we're asking and we're seeking. We're not just asking for a need, but we're seeking the need meter. We're seeking God. We're seeking Him. We're seeking the one who's all wisdom, who's all knowledge, who's in my next week. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what's coming up with my kids, my grandkids, and so I'm asking. I'm seeking Him, and I'm just being with Him. And as you're with Him, all of a sudden He starts showing you things, an idea or a dream, or He gives you peace or whatever it is that you need as you seek Him. So the key is to have a passion and develop a passion to be with Jesus. This is our lifelong pursuit. This is our lifelong practice. We said this last week that after 20 years, the Apostle Paul had been born again, given his life to Jesus. He writes to the Philippian church, I want to know Him more and more. One translation says, I want to know Him. I want to know God better. I want to know God better. And this guy had given his life to know Christ. This guy had given his life to and written all these letters to the Corinthians. He had written to pastors, Timothy and Titus and Philemon and all this stuff. He'd given his life. He changed the world. And yet he says, I want to know Him. I want to know Him better. If that is Paul's response and that's his desire, how much more so you and me? The third thing that we need to do that Jesus says, we ask, we seek, and the third thing is we knock. So let's talk about this the rest of the day. We knock with a continued persistence. We knock with a continued persistence. So we ask, we seek, we knock about things we need changed in us, around us, with our families, with our job, with our health, whatever it is. But we knock with a continued persistence. Notice the screen. We ask in prayer so we can receive by prayer. We seek in prayer so we can find the one in prayer. And we knock in prayer so things will be opened from prayer. Listen, there will be no receiving. There will be no finding. There will be nothing opened in your life unless you do this and pray. It won't happen magically. It's not, God just seems like He's withholding something from me. Well, have you asked? How's your seeking? And how's your continued persistent knocking? Again, we said this a couple weeks ago that concerning knocking, nobody ever goes to a door and does this. We knock if you know somebody is in there and they're hiding out. Come on, we knock, we back off the door a little bit, then what do? I grew up, and there's truth to this, because Jesus talks about it. That you pray, and you only pray once. Jesus said, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. It's how you do it. Are you doing it? This is the key. Are you doing it in expectation? Are you doing it in faith? Are you doing it in confidence, knowing who he is and what he's willing to do for you and me? So just work with me here. I know this is super simplistic, but I want to put the cookies on the bottom shelf so everybody knows what we're talking about. Knocking just simply means something's closed, the door's closed. Or why would you need to knock? What I'm coming up against, Lord, I sense or I see from the Word of God that this is what you want to do. It's in the Word, or I sense this for my life. I'm abiding in you, your Word's abiding in me, and I'm asking this, and I'm seeking the one, and I'm knocking, but this door is still shut. If it's open, you go in, you don't need to knock. But if it's closed, Jesus says, you better get your knocking on. Let's look at some biblical examples where we see this. Is that all right, everybody? In 1 Kings 17, Elijah is a prophet, and he prophesies to the rebellious nation who have left God and disobeyed God's orders and his word. And he said, it's not going to rain on the land until I give the command. And we know that it was going to be 3.5 years later. 3.5 years pass, and chapter 18 tells us that Elijah becomes aware. It's really kind of interesting that it's the time of the end of the drought. And some of y'all that have read this, it'll stick out to you. Because Elijah, the prophet, says to King Ahab, he says this word, there is the sound, this is chapter 18 of Kings, there is the sound of abundance of rain. No cloud in the sky, no storm, no lightning, no smell of rain, but Elijah the prophet says, it's time. I discern, let's work this a little bit. I discern because I've been abiding with him and I've been abiding in the word and I discern this is the time. He was not given a weather report. He was given a report to King Ahab, change is getting ready to happen. I don't see anything with my eyes, but change is getting ready to happen. I know something in here. This is the key for all people who are born again, who is who I'm talking to in the room and online. Listen to me. You have the ability to know things that have no natural knowledge or no one's given you any insight or information. But I know something's up. I know something's up. Come on, everybody. I know something's up. So just look on the screen. I think I already said this, but look right here. He knew God wanted to do something. So what's he do? So he gave himself to pray about what God wanted to do. This is key. Don't miss it. Take a snapshot of it. Do something. He knew what God wanted him to do. God, it's time for rain. This is the time. So what's he do about it? We're going to find out. The brother starts praying about what he knows God wants to do. 1 Kings 18, verse 42. Elijah goes up to the top of Mount Carmel. He bowed down. That should stand out to you. He bowed down on the ground, place of reverence, place of worship, and he put his face between his knees. They tell us, historians, church guys will tell us that this is a type of a picture of a woman giving birth in that culture. He puts his face between his knees. He says something, God wants to do something. I'm going to pray out what God's put inside me. And he goes to his servant and he says, go look toward the sea. Go look toward the sea. And the servant goes and looks and says, there is nothing. There is nothing. Come on, say that with me, will you? There is nothing. This is what happens in prayer in your and my life regularly. Regularly. I'm abiding in him. I'm abiding in the word. I love God. I love him. I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm knocking, and I'm praying, and I sense something, and I go to look, and there's nothing. I look at my body. It's not changed. I look at my money. It's not changed. I look at my situation in my family. It's not changed. I look at the lies in my mind. They seem like they're multiplying. The clouds of darkness, of depression, coming in stronger. It looks like nothing. What do you do when nothing is happening when you're praying? Seven times, the scripture says. Seven times, the scripture says. He says to Gehazi, go look again. Go look again. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Go look again. I'm talking to somebody in the room who's quit looking. Look again. Pray again. Ask again. Come on, seek again. Knock again. Came to pass, verse 44, the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. And Elijah said, you better get ready and run, buddy, because I see storm clouds and wind and heavy rain came, and it was a mess. It was a rain like never seen before. How'd it happen? Seven times persisting, seven times knocking, seven times on the ground, bowing, praying. A couple weeks ago, we talked about a woman named Hannah. Hannah was married to a man who happened to have Elkanah, and he had another wife. And the Bible says that her womb was actually shut, and she actually called the other girl her rival, that she was like fertile myrtle, man. Every time her and the husband got together, she's popping out kids. And she's in anguish. In fact, 1 Samuel 1 says this, verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul. Notice this, bitterness of soul. Ever been there? And she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. So listen, while you're in bitterness of soul and you're weeping in your heart, you still have the ability to pray. Will you pray? Don't medicate. Don't self-medicate. Come on, don't snort. Don't pop. Don't puff. Don't drink. How about you pray? Amen. I got the best amen right there in the whole room from all day. That must have hit a nerve. Then she made a vow. She said, O Lord of hosts, if you'll indeed look on my affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and don't forget your maidservant, I'm gonna give your maidservant, if you give me a male child, I'm going to give him back to you, Lord, all the days of his life. And no razor is going to come upon his head. He's going to be a Nazarite. He's going to take a Nazarite vow. And it happened. Notice this. Here's the key. As she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli, the priest there, watched her mouth, and Hannah spoke in her heart, and her lips didn't move, but her voice wasn't heard. And the prophet then, the priest then came to her and said, girl, are you drunk? She said, I ain't drunk. I'm pouring out my heart to God. And Eli just looked at her and said, well, God's going to give you whatever you're asking for. Listen to me. We know that she came at least 5 years, maybe longer, because her rival had sons and daughters, at least two sons and at least two daughters. And she came every year praying and asking God to do something. How long will you knock? How long will you knock, or when will you get tired? How long will you keep believing and not be discouraged and keep bowing down? Seven times? Year after year? Seven times is pretty quick with Elijah after a 3.5-year drought, but he's praying, and that storm clouds came in and changed instantly seven times. But this is years of praying. No Bible, no tape of the month club, no K-Love, no church, nobody supporting her. She's alone, barren. You got a promise. I want to have a son. Sons, I want to give him back to you. And Samuel became one of the greatest Old Testament prophets. Prayer has a purpose to change people. There's a story in the book of Genesis about a guy named Jacob who's wrestling with an angel of the Lord, the Bible says. And it says this, he wrestled all night. Type of what you need to do in knocking and persistent in prayer. Have you ever prayed all night? Have you ever asked God and wrestled with the things of God and what God wants to do in you and through you and for you all night? Ever gone through seasons of praying? It seems like there's no direction. It seems like it's getting worse, like we said. He's wrestling with an angel of the Lord. And the Bible says, you know the story if you read it, angel touched his hip and knocked his hip out a little bit, that it became dislocated. But the scripture says this, Jacob would not let the angel of God go. He persisted, And he says this in Genesis 32, 26. I will not let you go unless you bless me. This is knocking. Lord, I'm here today and I'm coming tomorrow. If I don't get today what you said in the Word of God, I'm telling you, I'm coming tomorrow. I'm going to ask. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to work things out of me. If I got a bad attitude, if I'm praying wrong, talk to me. But I'm going to be here tomorrow. Expecting, asking, thanking, praising you anyway. Come on, can I get an amen? Help me out here. Yeah? Jesus tells two parables describing this. A friend comes to a friend's house asking for some extra food because the guest comes to his house unannounced, unplanned. And the guy's hungry. He says, give me some food. He says, I ain't got no food. And so he goes to a friend and he asks his friend for food for his friend. And so he's knocking on the door. And the friend says, man, we shut up in here. All the kids are in bed. Come on, we're done. We're going to bed. And Jesus says this, Luke chapter 11, verse 8. I say to you, check it out. I say to you, though he will not arise and give to him because he's friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. His persistence. He keeps knocking. Hey, I got a friend at my house. I got a friend at my house. He showed up unannounced. Hey, he yells, we put everybody in bed. Go away. I ain't going away. You got what I need. You are my 7-Eleven. Chapter 18, verse 1. Jesus tells a parable about a widow with an unjust judge. And she says, avenge me of my enemy. I got an enemy, judge. I got an enemy. And the Bible says that the judge was wearied because she keeps coming to him. Wearied. She keeps coming, asking the same thing day after day after day after day. And the Bible says that the unjust judge finally said, I'm going to give her what she wants so she'll just leave me alone. Jesus speaks this parable. Not that we're trying to twist God's arm, but there's something about persisting in prayer that just turns God on. It's like you keep coming and you've got no evidence. Nothing's changed and you believe me what I've said? Yeah. So it actually says in chapter 18, verse 1, how this parable starts. I've added some words so you'll get it. Jesus speaks a parable that men ought always to pray and not lose heart, not faint, not quit, not get discouraged, not get despondent, not give up. Always pray. Always knock. Always come. Always seek. Always ask. Always desire. Always press in. Even in the book of Acts chapter 12. The Bible says that Herod was crazy leader, and he kills James, the brother of the Lord, and man, he's gone. He cuts his head off, and he says that all the Jews and all the religious people, they liked that a lot, and so they took Peter and put him in prison, put him in chains, put guards all around him. But the Bible says this in chapter 12, verse 5, but constant prayer, again, different translations, earnest prayer, fervent prayer, persistent prayer, intense prayer, unceasing prayer, strenuous prayer was offered to God for Peter by the church. What happened? All of a sudden, an angel comes in there, light shines around, and his chains fall off, and the jail cell opens up, and the eyes of the jailkeepers, their eyes were blinded, and he gets out to the outside gate, and the gate opens by itself, and then Peter goes to the house of the people that were praying, and they don't even believe it's him. Listen, constant prayer. Persevere in prayer. How you doing with your asking? How you doing with your seeking? How you doing with your knocking? Carlos, help me, will you? How you doing? Does it matter? I thought God's in control and God's kind of like pulling the switches. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God's given mankind the earth to have dominion and rule over, and we know there's the little g god of the world, Satan himself, who's a pseudo-ruler. There's going to be things that come in your life and in my life that we have to pray and stand against or things that are shut, the enemy trying to shut, that need to be open. Even concerning the gospel, Apostle Paul says this in Colossians 4. He says, pray for us. Pray for me. Pray for us. Pray for us. How do we pray effectively? God had opened up a door. Open a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. He said, I'm in chains because of this message. I'm praying. I'm asking you to pray for me for an open door. Why would you need an open door if it was already open? We're knocking because that door's shut. 2 Corinthians, he says, this is to the Colossians. He says the same thing to the Corinthians in chapter 2, verse 12. When I came to Troas, he says, to preach the gospel, a door was opened to me of the Lord. Evidently, the people have prayed. Paul prayed, and God opened a door that was once closed. Listen to me. Doors don't open by themselves. Doors open when we pray and we knock. So asking must move us to a lifestyle of seeking that moves us to a lifestyle of knocking or persisting. One more time. Asking moves us to a lifestyle of seeking. I'm seeking the one, seeking God, seeking Jesus. That then moves us to a lifestyle of knocking. That thing's closed? Okay, no big deal for God. I see in the Word what He wants to do, so I'm going to knock. How long are you going to be here? 7 times. Yeah. How long are you going to be here? Maybe years. We've prayed about things, Kimberly and I, for years. Then all of a sudden, in an instant, boom, opened up. So glad we prayed. So glad. Come on, listen, you got some kids. You got some situations that look like the door's shut, door's closed. Ask and keep on asking. Come on, everybody. Seek and keep on seeking. Come on, everybody. Knock and keep on knocking. Because I believe if you'll knock, come on, if you'll knock on heaven, God will knock on their heart. Come on, stand up. Would you do it? Come on, all over the room. Look on the screen. Let me ask you one more question. This is your time right now. Where have you quit praying? Where have you quit praying? Where have you quit persisting? Come on, close your eyes. Bow your head. Ask God, where have I quit praying? Is it for my family? Is it a health situation? Is it a job situation? Is it the lost around you, a lost loved one? The more you pray, it seems the worse it gets. Where have you quit praying? So what God's saying this morning is get devoted again, or get devoted for the first time. Believe again. Stir up faith again. Abide in Him and let His word abide in you. You get alone with God every day. Find your time, your secret place, your rhythm, your flow. And you get alone reading the Word every day. Abide in Him, and His words abide in you. And from that place, you will be able to ask accordingly to His word and His will, and be able to receive the answer that you're asking and requesting. Where have you quit praying? Father, help all of us develop a heart of constant, earnest, fervent, persistent, intense, unceasing, strenuous prayer. Help us, Father God, me included, Father, abide in you and your words abide in me. Father, help us be people like Elijah, not moved by what we see, but pray 7 times. Go again. I hear a sound in my heart, the abundance of rain. I see the scripture. We see what you say, but we're not having what you said you want to give us. But Father, we're coming again and we're going to ask. We're going to persist. We're going to knock. We're going to seek. Year after year, like Hannah, we're coming again. We won't be moved by our rival, by the adversary, by the accuser of the brethren, Satan himself. We're asking again. We're coming again. We're coming again. We're going to pour out our heart to you, Lord God, again and again, like that unjust judge, not listening, but a woman in need coming. And you said, you'll avenge them speedily. Find faith on the earth. We're coming again today in faith. You're the God who hears, you're the God who sees, and you're the God who answers. Come on, all over the room, let's lift your hands. That's what we do in response. We just say, thank you, Lord. Come on, thank you. Thank you. Come on, thank you. That's what we do. We say, thank you. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering. Thank you, Lord God. We're not alone. We're not fighting an unnatural battle. Lord God, you're the Lord God who's with us. You go before us, behind us. You hedge us in. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for angels. Thank you for supernatural things happening right now. Come on, right now, supernatural things happening right now. We believe you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your loving kindness, Lord God. Thank you for your power and your might. Thank you, Lord God, for your presence. Thank you for your assurance, Lord. We have it in our heart today. We know it, Lord God. We know it. We know it. In Jesus' name. Come on, all God's people said amen. Amen, 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 amen. Yeah. Come on, we're in the room. If you don't know Jesus, listen to me. The greatest thing you can do is give your heart to Jesus. We're going to have our prayer partners up here. If you're away from him today, allow one of our prayer partners to pray for you, introduce you to the person that'll change your life. We serve a God who's interested. We don't serve a God who's an idol. The fact that the Old Testament prophets would say constantly, you guys' idols, your false idols, they don't have eyes to see or ears to hear. We have a God who sees and a God who hears. So listen to me, if you don't know this God, if you don't know who Jesus is, or if maybe you were raised in religion and been around church but never been in, you know, giving your life solely and completely to God, allow one of our prayer partners to pray for and pray with you. It'll be the greatest decision you've ever made. Been, you know, 45 years for me now, turned around, been a wild ride. Come on, God will take you places. Put people in your path. You'll find yourself doing things and be around people that maybe you've never been around in your life. I got to open up doors and direct you and guide you and lead you, pour out blessing on you. Come on, you'll find yourself saying things and doing things that you never dreamed possible just because you made a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. It's got benefit in the earth, and thank God it's got benefit in heaven. Come on, everybody, forever and ever. So allow us to pray with you. We love to do it. If we could pray about anything going on in your life, allow one of our prayer partners to do that. We love you. God bless you. Come on, go do something amazing.